Hello and welcome to another episode of the Saxo Market Call podcast. This time around, we're going for the thematic episode of the week. And today I am joined online from Singapore by Charu Chanana. Hi, Charu. How are you doing?
Hi, Soren. I'm very good. Thank you. Great to be back. It's been a few weeks, right? We recorded an episode.
It has been a few weeks, and it's great to have you back here, Charu. And I'm sure that we'll also be back on our regular macro tandem from next week on. But today we're going to talk about a very interesting topic that I'm very thankful I have you to explain, because it's not something that I at all know a lot about. We're going to talk about this, especially this Chinese FX intervention that's been discussed at least the last week. And we're going to talk about what that means and why it's important and what to pay attention to, etc. So I think this is going to be really interesting from my point of view, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is actually in the FX markets, interventions, whether it's China or Japan, these really are the big topics, because otherwise in major pairs, we just locked in a range going sideways. There's been no real breakouts happening in the FX game. And this is really the thing to look out for any change of trend if one was to happen. So yeah, let's go for it.
All right, let's roll. And maybe before we go to Asia, let's start somewhere else. Let's start with the US dollar. And it seems like that the strength of the dollar, which is something that has been debated this year also in terms of interest rate cuts, etc., it seems like the interest rate side is continuously just being postponed. The US dollar strength seems to be getting prolonged, maybe because of that. And it seems to be hurting the Asian currencies a fair bit. What's your take on this entire thing? And is that one of the things that's related to these potential interventions?
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, US dollar is the driver, or the strength of the US dollar, I should say, is the driver of this whole, you know, the reason that we're talking about this today. And, you know, if we had spoken last week, Soren, I would have said that we are getting close to the maximum limit of hawkish repricing that we can see in the Fed curve. What that means is that we have priced out quite a few rate cuts from this year's expectations. Last week we were down to expecting only two rate cuts from the Fed this year. So I would have thought that, you know, given the narrative that's been coming out of the Fed members, with, you know, higher for longer still being the baseline view, potentially, I would have thought that that's really the maximum we can go, and we can't take out expectations of rate cuts anymore. Like the market, I mean, when I say we. But, you know, I think the narrative really shifted a little bit last week with the Fed member, Williams, when he spoke. He was on the wires, and he kind of brought a rate hike actually back on the table. So and that's what Powell has stayed away from so far. I mean, he talks about higher for longer and inflation pickup being a concern, but he hasn't yet brought a rate hike back on the table. Now, it's still a very, very low probability that we get another rate hike. But certainly, you know, Williams talking about it, and he's one of the respected members of the Fed committee. I think that just means that there is potentially some more scope for that, you know, rate cuts being pushed out of the Fed expectations curve for this year. And that has obviously brought about another new leg higher as well in the US dollar. I would be still a little bit doubtful about how long that sustains, as I wrote in my second quarter FX outlook. And I think we discussed it also in one of our previous podcast episodes, that, you know, there are two things that are driving the US dollar strength. One is the resilience of the US economy, and the other is the exceptionalism of the US economy. As much as I am okay to believe that, yes, US resilience can continue, the pass-through of these high interest rates is really, really slow to the US economy, and they can continue. I mean, data has obviously surprised to the upside, but what I'm starting to question, or what I started to question in the second quarter outlook, is the longevity of U.S. exceptionalism. Now, again, that doesn't mean that the U.S. will start doing poorly, but potentially the stabilization in Europe, or, you know, just the stabilization we're seeing in China, still at very low levels of activity, but staying there, not getting any worse than that, right? And given the positioning in the market is so very, very long positioned on the dollar, we could see that dollar story start to turn. We're not there yet. I don't see a reason why we should be probably, looking for a turnaround in the dollar already, because we know that many of the central banks, the ECB, the Bank of Canada, are looking like they will cut in June, whereas the Fed is obviously still delaying. So there is potential for US dollar to be sideways or higher for now. That story might turn as we get closer to those June rate cuts from the other central banks. But that higher US dollar certainly is being a big problem for many currencies. Particularly in Asia, we've seen the yen again at 34-year lows. We've seen, like we meant, talked about China. China's currency is also again quite weak. And the Korean won, that's been hurt as well. So we've heard some narrative coming out of the Korean authorities as well. Yes, there's a lot of pain that is happening in Asia, in Asian currencies, because of that strength of the dollar. And that's why we are here today talking about interventions and the possibility of that.
I mean, it is a pretty remarkable story, right? I would have loved to see historically how often we've gone from like in this case, the expectation of 7 rate cuts, and then 4 months later, expecting 1.5, or really, as you say, some people entertaining the idea that maybe we should actually hike rates in the U.S. instead. Yeah. That is, I would guess, not something we see very often. But you say we have this U.S. exceptionalism, so the idea that the U.S. economy is performing a lot better than other regional economies relatively to the interest rate environment, which brings on this idea that, as you say, both China and also to some extent Japan is talking about these interventions. And can you just start by letting us in a little bit? What do we mean when we say an intervention? Because it seems like something very drastic to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously not that common. You're right. It's basically when the central bank or the government will try to influence the value of the currency. And there are obviously reasons to believe that nobody wants to intervene, the currency. You have a floating currency. You want it to reflect the market fundamentals. And you don't want to be seen as altering the course of the currency in the favor or in the direction you want to. So it's certainly not very common. Sometimes there are situations when the authorities would buy or sell foreign currencies directly in the market to influence the exchange rate. That's what is intervention is. If it's an extreme scenario, then possibly also, having some kind of currency control, some restrictions on foreign exchange transactions or capital flows or the like. So those are the more severe forms of interventions, where you basically just try to influence the currency value in the direction that you prefer.
Okay. And you said that this isn't something you'd like to do. And maybe it's a dumb question, but why wouldn't you like to control that as a government?
One, of course, it's a costly affair. The Japanese authorities have been intervening over the last 2 years several times, and they have obviously hit their finances as well. So when you're buying or selling the foreign currencies, you are using up your finances. That's a costly affair, but also it's a risky affair because, like I said, it can undermine the central bank's credibility. For Bank of Japan, this has been a question that they have tried to intervene and tried to strengthen the yen a few times. But what has that given them? We only got some knee-jerk strengthening of the yen. And then again, the yen was back at its record lows, trading much weaker against most of the other currencies, because that's what fundamentals warrant at that time. You can't change the market function just because you think the value of your currency is somewhere different from what it is trading at, because the fundamentals, at least in the yen's case, particularly here, they still suggest that the yen has to be weaker compared to the other currencies, where we're still seeing, like the US, we're still seeing a higher for longer narrative stay along. We had the Australian CPI out for Q1. And again, there, the higher for longer interest rate narrative is still pretty steady. So it totally makes sense for those dollar yen or Aussie dollar versus yen pairs kind of to continue to climb higher.
Okay, so you say that what you low practically do is that you either buy or sell a foreign currency to try and control your relative exchange to those with your local exchange. Is that so? Like, if we look at interventions generally, it just sounds to me like it could be somewhat of a short term fix that will only work until the market has corrected itself again. Is that the case, or is this something that will create sort of a new baseline or benchmark for a given currency pair?
It could be either way. So what you said earlier about it being a short term, it certainly looks like it's more valid in the current times and when you're talking about the Japanese yen. But back in the day when the Swiss National Bank actually did intervention, what they did was they removed the floor that they had in place for euro versus the Swiss franc. And so they had this, you know, level where the euro Swiss franc was just, it could not go below that, and they removed it. And suddenly, obviously, the market kind of rushed in to strengthen the Swiss franc. So the euro Swiss franc went in below that level in a drastic move. And that was a more, I think that move did stay on for a relatively longer time, because I would say the intervention was really before that, when they tried to keep that floor. So yes, I think there is a chance that we can say yes, most of those interventions have a short-term impact. But like in the case of yen, we can go into more details about as we talk about when we get to the point of discussing the yen intervention, a possibility of that. If it is a coordinated intervention, right, when the US authorities, Korean authorities, the Japanese authorities are all collectively trying to weaken the US dollar and strengthen their own currencies, again, that could be a time when speculative bets can get reduced. So, a lot of what we see in the market is speculation as well, right? So the speculators get pushed out of that trade. They do not take the yen much weaker after that. So that it could signal a new range of trading for the Japanese yen. But we haven't seen that coordinated effort yet. So the yen continues to be driven weaker despite those intervention efforts, because the US side has still not supported in the intervention over the last 2 years.
And just on that note, until before we go to talk specifically about the Chinese one, to me, this also sounds like, in a time where geopolitical tensions are rising, it also sounds like something that could actually spill over to be sort of a political dilemma for a country. If you intervene on your currency relative to, let's say, for instance, the US dollar, I mean, you could, in theory, see the US being kind of annoyed. So I guess we must assume that there's also some political discussions going around before you decide to do something like this, just to make sure that you don't make somebody pretty mad.
No, absolutely. I think that's a very important point, and that's also why you can't just go and intervene when you like, because actually the US publishes regularly a list of countries that intervene in their currencies. And, you know, you are tagged as a currency manipulator by the US authorities. So you certainly don't want to be on that list. It was, that is another concern, right? I mean, we are heading into a US election and a possibility of another Trump presidency. And these interventions could just get even more tough for these countries, which are facing a weaker currency and issues because of that. Because, and that's again another question, you know, I don't know the answer, but that's also one consideration, whether they want to kind of move ahead of the US elections. So they don't want to face that political risk. I don't know, but certainly, I mean, they have to take the US side on board to avoid being tagged as a currency manipulator.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty bad list to be on. But let's try to move into more specifics. I think at least the first country that I heard about discussing this last week was China, that discussed these interventions. what was it that came out of China, and what's your take on is? Do you think this is something that's going to happen, or is this just a rumor mill that's running?
So, you know, there have been a few reasons why, let's call it a rumor mill that's been running. One, because, I mean, we know the China economy is particularly weak right now, right? A lot of it has to do with the property sector. That's spilling over into the consumption side as well. But what is really driving China's economic growth right now is actually just the exports leg. They obviously want to keep that running. And even though, you know, we have this, era right now where the dollar is strong, the US dollar is strong, the Chinese yuan is weak against that very strong US dollar. But actually, on a trade-weighted basis, so yuan on its trade-weighted index is actually the weakest since October 2022. And that's something that is extremely important to China, right? So that means that the Chinese currency is stronger than the currencies of the other economies that China trades with. And the one that specifically China keeps an eye on is also the Japanese yen. So, and the reason there is very simple, because both China and Japan have competitive export markets, particularly in Asia. So they both want to export to, you know, say the Indonesia, the Philippines, to Thailand or whatnot, right, in Asia. And when you have such a weak Japanese yen, that makes Japanese exports look more competitive. That is a trouble. That is a key point for China as well. And that's one reason that has led to speculations that they might want to competitively weaken the Chinese yuan as well. So if you look at the currency cross between Chinese yuan and Japanese yen, CNH yen particularly, it is above 21. 21 was considered to be a line in the sand for that pair. But we've been trading steadily above that level since the 10th of April. So that is a red flag, right? That markets think that Chinese authorities would be getting worried about that. They might be losing their export share because of that. So they might intervene to competitively devalue the yuan.
So basically, to make sure that I get the full picture. So basically, it's down to the idea that Chinese goods and services need to stay competitive. So that will be the preferred place to go and shop if you're any other country that would like to buy something over Japan.
Exactly. Any exporting nation usually prefers a weaker currency because that makes your goods cheaper in the foreign markets. And then obviously, hopefully demand gets a bump higher enough to cover for that lower price, so you have a good export volumes, and that makes you good revenues.
Makes sense.
All right. So now that's one factor. Of course, it can have negative impacts also, which is what China needs to be worried about, whether a devaluation of the yuan can lead to capital outflows. It can lead to, you know, a panic in the markets. They already have a lot of headwinds really to deal with. So they don't want weak yuan to be seen as another headwind. And, you know, if you look at it from a long-term basis, China also has this ambition to make the yuan the foreign, reserve currency. So again, they don't want to be intervening in the market or deciding the direction of the yuan, with an intervention. They have to let it float freely, let the market decide the value of the yuan. And that's how they can be potentially, you know, think about being the reserve, making Chinese yuan the reserve currency of the world. So there's obviously a lot of other factors that they need to think about as well. And that's one reason I would say that they potentially want to stay away from a sharp devaluation of the yuan, something like they did back in 2015, where, you know, they weakened the yuan suddenly by 1.9% in one day. And then even over the next few days, there was further weakness coming through. So that was a very sharp move, and that kind of caused ripples in the global markets at that time. I would think they want to stay away from something like that. So a more preferred strategy could be of a controlled devaluation, letting it weaken a little every day. And that's what is coming through from their daily fixings of onshore yuan. But really, we need to see where that goes. And, like I said, interventions are rare, but when they happen, they create a big market impact. So we just need to be on alert for that.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, if you are an FX trader, it seems pretty obvious that there's something to gain from positioning yourself in the right way towards something like this.
Yeah. There is obviously an opportunity, or another opportunity, obviously, to position for this is if at all an announcement comes through, then you fade the move. That's what a lot of, the traders for Japanese yen have been doing. The Japanese yen strengthens every time we see that intervention coming through. But potentially, fundamentals still would mean that we see a weaker yen. So you fade the move of the yen strengthening.
Okay, so if we just stick to China before we move on to the yen in a minute, your take is that if they're gonna do something, it's most likely gonna be a controlled intervention and not sort of a drastic one. But do you think it's reasonable to assume that something like this will happen? Obviously, we aren't in the meetings room taking the decisions, but do you think it's more a rumor or do you think it's more a fact?
No, in fact, I would say a controlled devaluation is something that is already happening. Like I mentioned about the daily yuan fixing. So what happens is, let me go into a little bit more detail there, Soren. So the Chinese Central Bank, the PBOC, they every day in the morning, they announce a USD CNY midpoint, so dollar CNY midpoint at a particular level. And then the onshore yuan CNY is only allowed to trade plus or minus 2%. So that means the yuan can only appreciate or depreciate by a maximum of 2% around that midpoint fixing that they give every morning. Now that fixing has been very steady over the past year or so. So that has helped to keep yuan in a very, very tight trading range. But back in March, just towards the end of March, probably a month back, for the first time in many, many months, they actually fixed dollar CNY for the first time above 710. So that means that they are letting the yuan weaken a little bit more. So dollar CNY above 710 means that's a weaker fixing than what we had seen in the past for many, many weeks continuously. And before that, I don't know what the trigger was for that, but if I just look at the price action now, 2 or 3 days before that, we have had that CNH yen pair also, which I talked about, right? 21 being the line in the sand, potentially. That was trading above 21 as well for 2 or 3 days before that. It didn't close higher, but it was above 21. So that was a signal that China's getting worried because yen is so weak and Chinese yuan is stronger as compared. So they tried to weaken the yuan by fixing dollar CNY a little bit above 710. But, I think markets reacted in a big way. They rushed to weaken the yuan on that assumption. And since then, even though they reverted the fixing back below 710, the market continued to test that 2% weakness limit. So the yuan continued to trade 2% weaker than the fixing. And now, actually, for the past 5-6 days, probably more, they have continued to set that fixing above 710 again. So, I think last night, Tuesday night, as I should say, was particularly interesting because this fixing is based on how the dollar was trading and, they usually react to that. And dollar was actually weaker. They still fixed dollar CNY above 710. So I think those are some clear signals that they are letting the yuan trade weaker. I think this is really a step in that controlled yuan devaluation towards that.
Okay. Interesting. And yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how far they can take it with this controlled intervention and whether that will be enough for them. And I'm sure we will definitely track that in the near future. I think we could talk about this all day, but I think we should go to the yen as well and talk about, the Japanese economy in general has been one of the most, at least from my perspective, one of the most interesting economies this year, because so many things have happened, and especially this interest rate debacle that we talked about a month ago. And we'll also have a new interest rate decision later today. We're putting this out on Thursday, and I believe it's Thursday night that they will have that. But they've also talked about this intervention in the yen, and the market seems to have positioned for it. What do you think? Is that something we're going to see at all? And if so, when are we going to see it? And will this interest rate decision from the Bank of Japan later today have any impact on it?
Yeah, no, market loves to position for yen intervention. So earlier, the market was thinking 152 has been the line, of defense for Japanese authorities. We moved above 152 on dollar yen, then 154 was the next level. Now we are above 154 as well, trading very close to 155. So obviously, the market is assuming that 155 could be that level. But let me just talk about the fact that why, potentially, again, they haven't intervened so far, despite the fact that yen is, at fresh 34-year lows. I think the reason here is just very simple that, it is going to be a futile effort to do anything right now because, we still have that rates story driving the yen, right? And we are, going into the end of April, we have the quarterly refunding announcement from the US, which probably I think you would go into detail with Althea at some point. But that's quite critical for long-end yields. And if the 10-year yield continues to push higher towards that 5%, there is possibly very little chance that an intervention can help, the Japanese yen to recover. It is really a play on the differentials, yield differentials between China, US and Japan. And any intervention at this point would have been completely futile. They have obviously, stepped up their verbal rhetoric, like I just mentioned earlier, right? They have also started to talk in a more coordinated way. They have already discussed the weakness of the Japanese yen with Janet Yellen as well. And she's kind of come back to say that she has taken note of the pain on the Japanese yen or other Asian currencies as well. And it seems like they've got her approval if they wanted to intervene. So they probably won't be tagged as a currency manipulator, like we discussed earlier. But yeah, I think there are some preconditions that they need to meet, like, that they need to, the 10-year yields to stop going down, could stop going up at the pace at which we have been seeing that in the last few weeks. They also probably need this low volatility in the FX markets to fade, because as long as volatility in FX is low, carry trades are very interesting. Carry means you borrow in the Japanese yen, which is a very low interest rate, and you put your money in a high yielding currency. So just being long dollar yen, even if it goes nowhere, even if it's trading sideways, if you're long dollar yen, it pays you the differentials between the interest rates of those two economies. So you still get some money even if dollar yen goes nowhere and if you're long. So that environment is going to stay as long as the FX walls are as low as they are. And again, intervention is futile in such an environment because Japanese yen is the most preferred funding currency for carry trades because of its low yield. So yes, you talk about the Bank of Japan meeting on Friday morning for Asia, Thursday night for those in Europe. And we should be on alert. I mean, historically, we have seen at some point, I remember, there was an intervention just after the Bank of Japan meeting. And that's because every Bank of Japan meeting, they always continue to surprise us in the most dovish manner. Even if they hiked rates back in March, it was a dovish hike. So I think Bank of Japan is is very good at doing that. They will talk, you know, yes, we'll be accommodative and this and that. And that, again, just puts a lot more pressure on the yen. So if we were to see that, if maybe 155 is the line in the sand, yes, we should be on alert for an intervention. But like I said, you know, depending on your risk profiles, you could either be on alert for intervention or you could look to fade the move if one was to happen here, if there was an intervention.
So just comparing the two, Charo, it sounds to me like probably Japan is, if you could say it that way, politically better positioned to do like a quote-unquote real intervention instead of this control intervention, just because of it seems like they've sort of cleared the idea with the U.S. Is that a correct take?
But isn't it the case that Japan is just politically better, in a better place than China?
That is
on anything.
That's definitely also a place to wait to yeah. see it. But okay, it'll be super interesting. I'm sure if anything happens, we will pick any of these intervention talks up. Charo, in this environment, it's, as we talked about, there's different ways to trade this, of course, but it also comes with a fair amount of risk because we clearly don't know what will happen. Is there anywhere, like in terms of interesting areas in the FX market, is this where you look at the moment? I know you've also mentioned that the Canadian dollar is something that could be of interest, but is it the Asian currencies that's the most interesting place to look at the moment?
I would think that the Asian currencies remain driven by, obviously, where the US dollar goes, right? I mean, I'm not going to make a huge bet on that. If I was to place a trade, I think it'll still be the Canadian dollar or maybe the sterling. I think that's where I see that the market hasn't really, in my opinion, the market hasn't completely priced in what the BOE, the Bank of England's rate cuts could look like this year. So I would still be bearish on those two places, Canadian dollar or the UK's sterling.
All right, great. Thank you so much, Charo. I think this was a very interesting talk about interventions, what they are and why they matter, and also what you need to pay attention to out there in times like this. And obviously, it's clear that the potential interventions in China and Japan has a lot to do with the US dollar and this exceptionalism that we'll have to see whether that continues. And obviously, something like the earnings season, which is going on right now, is... Can also give us some hints there, but we'll talk more about that at a later stage. But thank you, Charo, for making us all a little bit smarter today, as always.
It's a pleasure always to be with you, Soren, and talk about these things.
Thank you so much, Charo. And to all of you out there, on behalf of Charo Chanana, the Saxo Market Call podcast, everybody here at Saxo, my name is Soren Otto. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back anytime soon. But until that, happy trading.